Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on July 30th of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And this is our podcast where we talk about some of the anime we've been watching, a few of which actually air on Toonami. So, we got some news on Toonami. So, first things first. So, they had that big, thing where they aired that special, short, which was just, a Japanese Rick and Morty thing.
Really?
Well, that was, the 10-minute short they advertised. So, yeah, it was, some anime-themed Rick and Morty cartoon in Japanese. So, then they, so the big announcement was that they said, there is, I can't even remember what its name was. It was about some new anime that is coming next year called let me just double check. It's called Fina Pirate Princess. Here's the thing. So we found out what's replacing Paranoia Agent, and it's JoJo coming back. We found out what's replacing Mob Psycho 100, which is Season 2 of Fire Force. They did not announce either of those during the big convention they were hyping up. They waited until the next day.
Yeah, that kind of defeated the purpose of the whole thing. Like, I guess, what did they do? They did an interview with the guy who does the voice of Tom, and from what I saw from my DVR, I guess that it wasn't very much,
I'm just surprised they waited until afterwards to announce what was coming back, but yeah, that's some cool stuff. We've got JoJo, finally. We've got, I think I bailed on Fire Force after maybe 6 episodes, so I don't know about the second season, but maybe I'll give it a try.
Yeah. I never was able to get into it, and it wasn't that I didn't want to get into it. It just never really was able to. I think I just couldn't remember all the characters. I don't know.
Well, I just remembered, I looked at it and wasn't that into it. And I looked at what someone was saying and was like, hey, does it get better? And someone says, yes, but very far in. and they were talking about the manga, for the record. So I was thinking, wow, that could mean even farther for the anime. So I don't know. Maybe we'll watch it. Maybe we won't. We'll find out. What I'm wondering about is what they're going to do with Black Clover. Because I discovered that Funimation is really behind in dubbing the show. Because of, COVID and stuff, which has put them behind on a lot of stuff when it comes to dubbing. But, the episode, to put it into perspective, so the episode of Black Clover we just watched was episode 126, and they have dubbed, and they are putting up this week on their streaming service episode 129.
Oh, so yeah, they are not very far ahead. So
yeah, and I think it's because it's been coming out slowly. I'm pretty sure that I don't remember when, but I could have sworn that there was some point where they were about 10 episodes ahead of Toonami. So we're definitely seeing. So there's the point I mentioned with that is that there's a very good chance Black Clover is either going to go into reruns or need to be replaced by something within a month.
Oh boy.
Because we have, like I said, we've got Funimation still has 3 episodes. And as I noted, they're behind in it. I don't think they're doing it on a weekly basis. So yes, it might very well, or maybe they have gotten, or maybe they've gotten things working right now. I don't know. I just know that there is a good chance that in a month or two, we're not going to be getting more new Black Clover.
Yeah, JoJo will be our only hope.
Okay, so let's get into our stuff. So we've got, we start with Paranoia Agent episode 13, the final episode. So, so Lil Slugger has become like, I mentioned he's not little anymore, but now he's like more like a actual force of nature, not even really like human looking anymore, like a big black cloud thingy or whatever. But, well, okay, so to try to make a long story short, so Ikari's wife dies, and that somehow gets communicating to the weird fantasy world he's in, which snaps him out of it. He's told by the younger detective partner guy about how, what's her name? Tsukiko, yeah, the person who made Moromi, had some traumatic... She accidentally got the dog killed, so she blamed it on a kid with a bat, and then somehow her imagination manifested Lil Slugger, and then everyone else thinking about it made him more powerful, and I don't know. I didn't really understand that part of it. I'm not sure if that was really explained, but that's what's going on. So that you have to get Tsukiko to confront that in order to fix everything, and they eventually do, and it fixes everything, well, except all the destruction has still happened. And then it just skips forward 2 years, and things have gone back to normal, I guess, and the younger detective guy, Manawa, that was his name, has become, well, now he looks like that old guy we saw sometimes. He's like him, and he's talking all weird, and yeah, that's basically the ending. That's the series. That's the end.
Yeah, so basically we found out that, you know, like you said, that that girl imagined or made up that whole story about Little Slugger to cover up for the fact that she got that dog killed.
Yeah, when she was a kid.
Right. And that was the impetus of the whole Little Slugger thing. So I thought it was a really good ending, actually, because it was like it made everything else makes sense. It finally made sense why she never wanted to give any information at the beginning of the show, and the reason why is because she made the thing up from the first place, and then Little Slugger, the idea of him, the detective tried to chase down Little Slugger even though he knew he didn't exist. So,
maybe you can explain. I know she made up the stuff with when she was a kid. Were we supposed to take the idea that she also made up the attack that occurred at the start of the series?
Yeah, yes, he did.
Because intentionally or not, because they established clearly that she was not actually, the policeman established she was not actually attacked by it, but I was wondering if she was just if it was her imagination or hallucination or her mind screwing with her somehow or not. That's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I really liked the ending of the show. It made me feel smarter for watching it, which is like the opposite of how I feel whenever I watch Dragon Ball. But,
what you don't appreciate all the complex characterizations and how they all are symbolic of the id, ego, and superego? And it's also a commentary on the role of the United Nations.
Never thought of it that way before. yeah, so I think this was actually a really good sew, and I'm glad they sewed it, kind of like Outlaw Star. One of my favorite Toonami shows happens to be one that was a rerun.
Yeah. So my thoughts on it. I kind of feel it did sort of wrap things up, but at the same time, there's a number of things I'm just kind of confused about. I'm not sure how well it explained. I'm still like, okay, so she came up with a little slugger, but and then that captivated the people. But how did that manifest, little slugger? How did that work out exactly? I don't think there was ever an explanation for that. Now, here's the thing. For a lot of shows, I would say I complain about these things. It didn't make sense. They didn't explain it. With Paranoia Agent, I actually am willing to give it much more benefit of the doubt and say, okay, maybe there was an explanation and I missed it because it's a smarter show than I am a lot of the time. I mean, look, like I said, I completely... There's that episode where there's the guy who starts freaking out because he realizes none of them have shadows. And I didn't realize that when I watched it. I was confused and had no idea. And then I read that's what happened. I watched the episode. And I was like, oh, that's obvious. How did I not realize that?
Yeah. Did you see that scene at the end where the guy's on the moon? Like, that's supposed to be the creator of the series, the guy who's on the moon at the end.
Oh, huh. But there are still some, like I said, I feel, and one thing is it kept showing hints of that old guy, and I don't know, did we ever even get an explanation for him? Like, what he was doing, how he related? He was just kind of around, and then... There's a part where Manoa, again, the younger police guy, like said, considered him his teacher, but it was unclear how any of that worked or whether Manoa was just being like kind of crazy with that or not. I don't know. Maybe some of this stuff would make more sense on a watch, but there are still some parts I thought were not very well explained. Yeah, so Paranoid Agent, the individual episodes I thought were pretty good. I do question how well they managed to fit them all together. Because we have all, when you look at the earlier episodes, what, like the stories and stuff they gave, they don't really matter that much. They might, like the second one, you know, about the kid. And, you know, there's that focus. But then after that, he doesn't really matter outside of having a kind of connection to the next victim who had kind of a connection to the next one. But outside of those brief bits of connection, they like, you could have cut out so much of that, really, when it comes to the overall story.
Yeah, it's the type of thing where, like, it's greater than the sum of its parts, you know? It's like, they don't really... Like, if you try to take every episode at just face value, and it's like, okay, well, maybe it's a little weird, but, go ahead.
I was going to say, I it feels like the show, the creator had a lot of, like, individual ideas for stories. And he's like, hey, this is a cool idea. This is an interesting idea. This would be, and then, like, he's, for example, hey, what if everyone, what if there's this kid and everyone thought that he was this, like, assaulter guy who, and stuff. Oh, hey, what about if this, there's this woman who had a split personality and the other, and she was dealing with, having trouble dealing, with it. And, you know, all, I could go on for all of those things because those plots don't really have much to do with the actual overall story. It's just Little Slugger just kind of pops up at the end to remind you, yes, you're watching Paranoia Agent. It felt like he just had a lot of ideas like that, So he made the show and just kind of came up with the whole Little Slugger angle as a way to try to put them together. So you could say, hey, see, it's all one, all these individual stories that are pretty standalone. They're all part of the show.
Yeah.
Like this was like the most egregious examples of this are, of course, the Suicide Pact episode and also, the anime making episode, which just did not feel like, which felt even more than the others. Like they said, hey, this would be a funny just an interesting story. Hey, let's try to fit it into the world of Paranoia Agent. So they just kind of threw in some stuff with Little Slugger to try to remind you of that. In fact, now that I think the Suicide Pact episode makes even less sense because the depiction of Little Slugger in it does not work with the rest of the show.
Yeah, you just reminded me of that hilarious scene where Little Slugger is chasing down the guy in the truck and appears in his back seat. But that episode seems to make a lot more sense now that I know the whole story. But yeah, that one you were talking about, that episode just... It seems like that was the one episode that didn't fit with everything else, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I like the episode still. It just, was the epitome of what I'm talking about. So many episodes, most of the other episodes managed to sort of fit itself in better. This was the one that just felt the most like it was just there because they had this idea and wanted to put it in. But the other one still felt like that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I wish that we could have done... I just wish there had been a better sense of continuity between these, that there were so many of these weren't essentially one-off characters, because it did really feel like this was... Or, like, they had ideas of plots for some sort of, you know, something like, you know, the Twilight Zone, where, you know, each episode is completely on its own and there's not any continuity, and then was told, well, we need a continuity. So it was like, okay, I'll kind of put some stuff in about this larger plot into them to kind of string them together.
Yeah. I think you're right about that, and it did seem kind of that. That's a good comparison, the Twilight Zone to this, except that this was supposed to have a larger story around it, and I think it did a pretty good job for the most part. Whenever I ranked it on my anime list, I gave it an 8 out of 10. So. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, so. I've been mostly complaining, but that's because, see, here's the thing about Paranoia Agent. When the stuff I like is stuff in individual episodes. Like, I was like, I thought this was a good episode. It was weird. Well, they're all weird. Each episode was just, like, trying to be a weird in different ways, especially the earlier ones. But, I mean, they're all weird, but it's especially was like, let's be weird, but in a different way than last time. So I'm saying I like those episodes. The reason I'm critical is I liked individual episodes, but when I look at the show as a whole, which of course is what I'm doing right now at the end of the show, I start seeing a lot more problems with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. So, I'm just glad they sewed it, mm-hmm, instead of like reruns of something else. I guess, though, it was a rerun, but it turned out to be a pretty good rerun. So hopefully they, in the future, if they have to do something, they come up with another classic. So I just, that was pretty funny how, what was I going to say? It was pretty funny. Oh, whenever I looked on the the YouTube video of the theme song of this show, and someone just said, "You're not ready."
Yeah. No, it was good on the whole. I did it was nice they showed it. It is one of the few shows that I can actually say I usually, when shows try to be smart, they kind of feel pretentious. I didn't feel like this. It actually did feel like it was a show where, when I didn't understand something, it was because the show was actually smarter than me, not that it was just, you know, hey, here's some stuff that you don't understand. That makes us smart, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of, I saw this person, and they were complaining about, I think, about some movies that do that sort of stuff. So they just put like this four hour video on YouTube that was just this guy sitting in this chair looking kind of weird, and like was saying something like, this is like there about how there's all these hidden meanings to it. I mean, you know, as a joke and stuff, and I don't know, but yeah, I probably didn't explain that well, but I don't know. I think we're kind of belaboring the point right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, then we've got Black Clover episode 126. So, Yami is trying to research the curse thing, and he's asking Charlotte, the person, you know, the captain of the what's actually the name of the Blue Rose, is that's it about it. Now, you probably didn't know until this episode, because you missed a bunch of things, but a recurring thing has been the fact that she's had this major crush, this like practically schoolgirl crush on Yami, despite, you know, the fact that for the most part she acts like the whole like big like I hate men Amazon thing, despite her being totally in love with him. So there's actually, most of this episode is really wacky hijinks with them. When Yami's just like trying to ask her about curses because she had one, and she keeps misunderstanding it and like doing stuff like running away screaming, which makes Yami think she doesn't like him.
Yeah, that was, it was so over the top. I was like, is this filler? But then I realized it wasn't filler. So I found this episode to be really funny, mm-hmm. although it did feel a little disjointed with everything else, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, I thought a lot of it was funny, although at the end they do get the sort of plot in in which she's telling him that if they're looking for the curses, they should try to ask the family of that guy, you probably don't even know the guy, and because the weird looking guy in the black bulls that always like whispers him, who had like up until this point done basically nothing in this series. I think he had some stuff he did. No, he did do some stuff during the previous arc, but up until that, he really didn't do anything. The anime actually gave him some extra stuff. So, yeah, for the most part, this was really a comedy episode, and I did think it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny, too. While it felt like filler in some ways, it was still pretty good.
Okay. So we got that. Then we'll move on to our non-Toonami stuff. Because we got kind of busy this week, we didn't end up watching two episodes of Excel World and Tales of the Abyss like we originally planned to. We only watched one, but that's still three shows total. So we got those. So Excel World, episode 14. So they figure out that the guy who beat Taku in that kendo thing was using some technique that can give you a better reaction time.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out, yeah, he's totally working there, but he managed to let's see. So basically, to cut to the end, he managed to trick why am I always forgetting these Haru or that was his
name. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm for some reason I was having trouble remembering. Okay. He manages to trick Haru into going into the girl's locker. A room and uses a tape to record that, and is threatening to blackmail him about it. In addition to the fact that he made it so that there will be another, there will be a camera found there, which will make him look even worse. And he's trying to blackmail them, but they end. But then they end up going into a fight anyway. So don't know how much of that blackmail was working. Really, like, the main point of this episode was pretty obviously to make you really, really, really dislike the guy.
He was, I'm just trying to understand, like, what the whole is this all about? Just the game, like the fact that he's a level or whatever. I'm trying to figure out why, what is so villainous about the guy in the first place that they, you know what I'm talking about?
The reason he's a villain is because he's doing all this really dirty blackmail stuff, but you mean why,
right.
You mean why he's doing it?
Yeah.
This question. Yeah, I guess he's just a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some men just want to see the world burn. Well, some men are just jerks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I thought the episode was pretty interesting. By the way, how long does this series go? Does it go 24 episodes?
It's something.
Does it go long?
It's somewhere in the 24 range. I'll check. Yes, exactly 24 episodes.
Okay. Now, I saw something called Excel World Infinite something. I just was wondering what that was.
Let me check.
Infinite Burst. Yeah, Excel World Infinite Burst.
Sounds like it might be a, oh, it looks like that's a movie. It's a movie. It says the events of the film take place after the final episodes of the series. So it looks like it's a continuation.
Okay, good. All right, because I just saw that on Crunchyroll, and I was like, is that like a Steins Gate Zero thing? I didn't know what that was, but okay, it's a movie, and that kind of makes sense, so I guess we could watch that after we finish the series.
Yeah, we might. Let me check, how long is this, actually? Let's see. Looks like it's 82 minutes, so that's about four episodes, or 3 to 4 episodes. So, okay. Yeah, maybe we'll check that out. We've still got a bunch. There's like several after the season movie on that there's still left. There's Tanya the Evil, the movie, and then there's, well, whenever they get the dub out, Konosuba Legend of Crimson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. Was there anything else I had to say about that? No. Okay. Okay. So that was Excel World episode 14. Now we've got ReZero episode 29. So in this episode, we've, like it said, it cut back to Subaru in his life in the real world, which we find out about. It's kind of hard to summarize this episode because it wasn't really a plot to it. And I don't even mean that necessarily as a bad thing. It's just, it's showing you Subaru's life, and he kind of talks about, like, some of the stuff he realizes he goofed up on. And the important thing is that we find out that basically he had kind of lost interest in he was talented, but then lost interest in things and was just completely skipping school. And then it was in the context of that that he went over to the store and then suddenly got warped into the alternate world.
Yeah. So, I did like the way that his family is, like, it's portrayed as they actually get along, which, like, seems really rare. Like, it seems like every time you have a family, you've got, you know, a missing parent, and you've got someone who's harboring some sort of anger against someone in their family. You know, like, families that get along, like in Madoka Magica, those are kind of rare. So I actually like this for a change. But I was bored during the episode. That was the problem, because it just felt like, okay, Subaru is just kind of,
So I look at this episode, and there's some stuff I like in it. There's some good emotional stuff in it. I looked at some reactions. A bunch of people thought it was a really, like, emotional episode and really affected them. And there are some parts of it that I liked in regards to that. Like, the part where his mother, in this sort of dream, alternate dream thing, says something to him, and he realizes, oh, wait, that's the last thing she said to me before I left to go to the store. You know, that worked, and stuff. It gives a little more, I guess, context for some of the things he does. Maybe he's grown a bit from this, although I looked at some people discussing it, and a lot of people are just saying, no, I mean, it's Subaru. He hasn't actually really learned anything. He just thinks he has. But the problem with this episode is its length. And I was going to and I didn't even notice this until someone mentioned it. I looked back at the Crunchyroll and went, wait, that's true. This episode is 29 and a half minutes long.
Yeah, it was longer. It felt longer than me. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 5 or 6 minutes longer than a regular episode, which actually makes me wonder exactly how this aired in Japan. That's my question. How did this air in Japan? Did they, like, air it as part of some, like, 45-minute thing, and then they had, like, you know, some quarter of an hour random thing to pair with it? Or how did that work out? Your typical episode of ReZero is, it looks like, about 25 minutes, counting, you know, theme songs and stuff. This one was several minutes longer, so And that's, I think, the problem. If they had cut down on some of the things and made it a more regular length episode, I think the episode would have been better, because it would have gotten through the things it needed to do while cutting past some of the more sort of dead, boring parts.
Yeah.
Also, I was a little surprised because Echidna shows up again at the end, where, because he's now going to school with, apparently, it's a little unclear how much, because he makes a lot of comments that indicates he's sure that as a result of this, he'll be leaving this reality soon. So then and she's waiting for him there. And I was like, oh, wow, that's surprising. I thought she was just going to be a tease and then wasn't going to show up again until later on in the season. But no, she's here right away.
Yeah,
so it seems like she'll probably be having a bigger role in the series than I thought she would, which is interesting. But then again, for all I know, she'll just show up and then she'll be, well, see you later. So yeah, but
we didn't have a theme song to go off that for this episode that could have sewed us with characters we need to pay attention to, because I usually miss that.
Has any episode even had a theme song this season so far? We've had ending themes, but have we had actual theme songs?
I don't think so.
Wow. To a certain extent, you can say, oh, that's good because it means that you don't waste a bunch of time. Although that was a little distressing. They skipped the theme song so many times in the first season because it was a really good theme song. So, yeah, I don't know if they're going to be continuing with that or not. But, I mean, I guess it gets you more story. So,
yeah.
So, yeah, that was this episode of ReZero. It was... I once again feel this episode would have been a lot better if it had just been a bit shorter and cut out some of the dead stuff. It's one thing to have, it's the weirdest thing to say this episode's problem was that it was too long. And then you look and see, oh, they made it longer than usual. It's like what everyone was complaining about in the final two seasons of Game of Thrones. They're saying, oh, well, they were super rushed and they needed more episodes. But those final two seasons were shorter than the previous ones. It's not like they had to compress things into the usual 10 episodes. They had 8 and 6 episodes in the final two seasons. I didn't actually personally watch them. I kind of lost some interest in the show, and also a bunch of the kind of gratuitous, you know, nudity stuff they threw in started to kind of annoy me especially. But yeah, it's just a case like that where you're thinking you basically brought the problem on yourself by making it longer.
Yeah.
But again, we get some information about Subaru's backstory, and that is very, very appreciated.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So now that we're done with that, I am very curious. Well, presumably, for all we know, Echidna's just going to say, well, we haven't had enough of you in this real world yet, so you're going to spend a few more episodes here before we go back. I hope not. I think we did what we needed to do here, so... But we'll find out. We'll find out next episode, I guess. This is the problem with watching an anime as it comes out, because I have to be. I can't ever really look up to see. Okay, does the, you know, even like a quick description of what happens in the next episode to check on something, like even doing it in a non-spoiler way. I guess I could do that if I read the light novels.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, okay, ReZero. And then finally we have Tales of the Abyss. So, our characters find out they're actually in a different country. They got teleported really far, so the capital they went to is different than the one they thought. Then Luke, being the sort of clueless noble guy, just kind of takes and eats an apple and walks away. And the person's saying, hey, wait, you have to pay for it. And then he gets arrested, which is, okay, here's that. That sequence did not make sense to me because he's like saying thief, thief. And I'm like, he just was talking to you, picked up the apple, talked to you, and then walked off. It's obvious that he's not, if he was trying to steal it, he would have, you know, actually run or something rather than being so obvious. It's obvious that he's just being an idiot is all. And that if you talk to him and like explain some stuff, you could probably get the money or something. Mm-hmm. And then
I was wondering how that played out in the game.
Yeah, that actually I have been wondering about some of this stuff because usually when you play as the, it's a little, because when you're playing as the game character, usually they give you a lot more sort of control, so to speak, over them. It usually stuff like this wouldn't be. It would be a little odd for this to be in a game because normally dumb choices by the characters are either ones that at least make sense to you at the time or are ones kind of forced on you out of necessity rather than, oh, a character just did something dumb.
Yeah, like, did you ever play the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games?
No, but I actually did see an anime about a part of the anime about it.
Yeah, there is this one Pokemon that sold items, and like you could steal them, but if you stole them, this really powerful Pokemon would chase after you, and there was practically no way of beating it. So basically, you were dead. But that's kind of what that reminds me of. That Pokemon, it was called Kecleon or something. Hmm. It was you would be walking through the dungeon and you might just accidentally like eat the thing that you walk past and then it's like thief, thief, and then you're dead.
Although I am reminded of in the first Phoenix Wright game, in cases in the second, third, and fourth cases, all of them require you to present evidence to enemies, like to show, hey, I know about this. None of them for any particularly good reason, and then they're like, oh, well, now that you've shown me this, I'll take it from you. The second case, you don't do that exactly, but Phoenix, this one isn't exactly your choice. It's just what he just like announces. He goes, ha, I know, you're the one who murdered them. They're like, okay, but remember, I'm the guy who like has blackmail material on all sorts of public officials, so I'm just going to make them charge you instead. And you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have told him that while it was just the two of us alone. Or the part where, again, where you're telling this person, haha, I have this that proves you're guilty. And then they're like, oh, well, yeah, but that's the only copy of that, so I'm just going to take it. I guess I can just have some guys beat you up and take it. And you're like, oh, uh-oh. And that one, at least you get saved, but still. And then in the next one, it's like, haha, look at this. And he's like, okay, well, I'll just tase you and steal the stuff. And it's just like, and he keeps doing, it's like, there's five cases in the first game, one of which wasn't in the original Game Boy Advance one. It was added for the DS release, which was the first time it got released in the US anyway. And like, three of those cases require you to do something really stupid in order to progress things. Although, now that I remember it, in Tales of Symphonia, near the start, you're basically required to kind of, you're required to do something stupid, but it is, it's just a, it's more a matter of, well, you have to go to this place even though you're not supposed to, and that kicks off stuff in the game, although it gets you in trouble and kind of screws stuff up. Whereas in this case, I'm just like wondering, do you just take the apple and walk off? Was this a cutscene? Or now I feel like I want to play the game just so I can compare it to the anime.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So anyway, so they get brought to this person, and they manage to get things sorted out, especially after Tear just gives the guy some money as compensation, which just makes you think, why didn't you do that while you were in the marketplace? Just say, all you have to do is say, I'm sorry, he's from someplace else, he's kind of an idiot, here's some money for it. And then there's a part where he's, like, starting to announce, like, I am Luke, blah, 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 you know, talking this stuff. And then she covers up his mouth to shut him up and, like, whispers, you can't tell him that. We're in enemy territory. And releases him. And then no one says, why did you cover up his mouth? What was he going to say? That was the part that really made no sense to me when you actually do it like that. And she doesn't give any explanation even. He just says, don't do that, and lets him go. And the person says, well, wait, why did you cover up? What was he going to say? There's no, everyone just goes along with it. anyway, so, let's see. So they end, so they end up going because there's this one kind of animal that is causing problems, and they need to try to negotiate it with a different kind of animal. And I don't know, the important thing is that they end up with one of these what are they called, cheagles, that's going to have to travel around with them, and then they all get arrested.
Yep. And my favorite character showed up, but not long enough for us to really have an introduction to her. So I'm still waiting on that. But the reason I like this character is because of fanfics, which is like, you haven't played the game, you haven't watched the anime, but you have a favorite character. It's like, yep. That's the way it goes. So, yeah, well, I really like this episode, actually. The first episode I thought was, like, kind of blah, you know, it was like, but this second episode I think was a lot better and got me a lot more interested in this.
Well, the problem I'm having is I don't really... a lot of times I can deal with subs, but for some reason this show really makes me want to see it dubbed. Maybe it's because of the fact I know it's based on a game, and if I played the game, I would have it all like in English. Well, I mean, I guess I don't know if the game is voiced or not. I know there would be text.
It is.
Okay. I would have the characters actually say it, and I could read it. Although, knowing me, I wouldn't really be listening to them. I would just read it, and then as soon as I finished reading the dialogue, before they actually finished saying it, I just click, okay, hey, next dialogue bit.
Wait, here we go. Wait, someone said, Tales of the Abyss could be summarized as... What? What? Okay, never mind. That makes no sense. Okay. I was like, I thought it was going to be some really insightful thing, and then it was like, it didn't make any sense.
What was it?
It was this live journal thing. Someone said, Tales of the Abyss could be summarized as the problems you get on a planet if Pi learned to talk.
If and Pi?
You could, yeah, P-I. P-I.
Hmm.
And okay, meaning like the Greek letter, you know, that thing. You could also call it the story of a boy and his replica. Or this is why you don't leave vengeful 12-year-olds in charge of theocracies driven by destiny.
Well, maybe that'll make more sense as we go on. Although I am wondering about that pi thing. Was that maybe a typo?
I don't know. I like, now I'm more intrigued, because it's like, if it does mean, I'm trying to figure this out, if this was just like some nonsense post someone made to make jokes, or if they really met, I don't know. After this game, after we watch this, I'm going to end up having to play this game, because there's a lot of interesting characters already, and we're only two episodes in, so I'm guessing like this didn't happen nearly this fast in the game. So, but yeah, we already have our love interest. You know, you kind of pointed that out in the first episode, but I thought I'd point that out, that now we have a love interest. Also, I think I want to cosplay as Luke, too. Mm. I think you would be a pretty cool character in the cosplay.
Well, I tried looking up Pi in regards to Tale of the Abyss. All I can see is that someone... is that apparently pi is like the Thon frequency for Luke. So I don't know what that means, and it looked like it was a minor thing. So yeah,
it does have. Yeah, you're right. Pi actually does have a real meaning to this, except. I'm searching in Pi, and it's coming up with a emoticon, emoticon of P being a tongue sticking out next to the letter I, next to the word I. So that isn't helping me very much.
Yeah, Pi. That's it's weird that's because everyone just thinks of it as like the number, but yeah, it's a Greek letter. For P, weirdly, the Greek letter P, like the one that looks just like a P, is actually R. There's some bits in the Greek letter where if you look at it, you'll say, "Oh, it looks like the English letter. It must correspond to that." No, like the when you see H, no, that's a capital E. What looks like an uppercase H is actually a capital E.
Yeah, I never went to seminary, so I didn't learn Greek, although I have a friend who is in seminary right now, and she is learning Greek. She already learned Hebrew, but now she's learning Greek, and... apparently struggling with it, so.
I mean, I did actually try to learn the Greek alphabet, and I actually got most of it, although there's a bunch that I can't really remember. So I can recognize those. It's because I was trying to learn Greek, except there's like three other languages I want to learn, so I haven't made too much progress in that. I mostly have been working on Latin, but slowly. But yeah, that was just the thing I noticed, that the fact that what looks like a P is really an R. The V is an N. The symbol that's a V, which I keep getting mixed up with the U symbol because they look really similar, but the V symbol is an N.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Greek is kind of, like, you're just thinking, couldn't they just use the same alphabet as we do? It would make things so much simpler. It would, Although Greek actually has seven vowel symbols, which makes romanization of some of them kind of weird. Well, like there's two that would be put in as an E. So for some of them, when you write it out, you try to like, you know, put a line above the E to symbolize which of them it is. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know Greek that well. I can kind of read the alphabet now. That is my knowledge of Greek mostly. And I know a few bits about the declensions, except not, I know they exist mostly. I don't, do you know what a declension or case is?
No, I don't.
Okay. So, yeah, you're going to get some learning in here. So basically in Greek and Latin, they're the ones that are best known for it, but it's in some other language. I think German has something like this. There's what's called cases for nouns, like accusative, dative, genitive. I can't remember which one. I can remember the ones in Latin. I don't know how which ones correspond to Greek, but it means that based on how a noun or even a name is being used in a sentence, it's spelled differently. It has a different form. And like here's the thing, like if I, no matter where it is in a sentence, my name, Michael, it's just Michael. Like Michael went to the store. I give the ball to Michael. That kind of stuff. It's just Michael. But in Latin, for example, if I were to say Michael goes to the store, versus like someone gives the ball to Michael, they would be Michael. I don't even know what the word for that in Latin or Greek is, but it would be written differently because it would be in a different case. Because in one case it's the subject, in the other case it's what's being done to them. It's okay. That probably sounds complicated. Here's a great analogy because it is present in English to a limited extent. What's the difference between the words I and me? I is used when it's the subject and me is used when it's the object. Like you, I talk to you versus you talk to me, because in one, right, it's the subject, one is the object. It's basically just like that, except instead of just applying to a few pronouns, it applies to everything. So I can't remember what point I was trying to make with all of that.
You were trying to explain the demarcation or something.
It's called declensions. It's because all the different nouns count as parts of, as different declensions, which is basically how they get shifted depending on the case they're in. Because there's like the first declension, second declension, third declension, and they change differently based on what the word is. What I mean is a particular word is always a particular declension, but different words are different ones. Just think about how words are pluralized differently in English. A bunch of words, you just add an S to it. In some words, you would be adding like an ES to it. In some words, things just get weird, like goose becoming geese somehow.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of the this one Pearls Before Swine comic where Pig, who's kind of an idiot, he says, "I just saw a bunch of gooses." And someone says, "That's geese." Pig says, "Oh, well, I just saw a bunch of geeses." Yeah. So I don't know. That's something useful to know, maybe. It's just, like I said, in English, it's just like, you know, I and me, or she and her, him and he, like us or we, But there's way more shifts than that in some languages. Getting back to actual anime stuff, although I already did cover everything in Tales of the Abyss.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said a bunch of stuff that is actually probably not useful because of the fact that essentially it's one of those cases where I told you something, but unless you actually know more about it, it's useless to you.
Yeah, well, I don't really have any plans on going to Greece. So unfortunately, I won't be able to use those tips that you gave me, but...
Yeah, actually... like Greek compared to English has not changed nearly as much as English has. Like you go, the obvious point of example of a Greek book would be, you know, the Bible. That's from about 2,000 years ago, and it's, to my understanding, pretty legible to a modern Greek speaker in the way that, you know, something like a Shakespeare's play is legible to us. Some parts will be a little confusing. You'll need to look up some words that might have shifted meaning, but it's just the fact that the kind of changes that occurred over a period where it's like that, even though it's been such a lengthier period of time in Greek and it's changed so much less than English has.
Yeah. What do they call it? Like Koine Greek or something?
Yeah, that's what they or Biblical Greek, but Koine Greek is a one used for that general time period. Because, you know, it's not just obviously the Bible we're talking about. That Greek was used for a few centuries beforehand and a few centuries afterwards, and then it kind of transitioned into I can't remember. Maybe I think it might have been medieval Greek, or maybe there's a Greek between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, much less of a difference when you look at English. I mean, Old English is so Middle English. You can recognize it as English. Old English is a different language. What basically happened? Old English became Middle English because like the Norse kind of took over, and a lot of words from their language just kind of got slammed into English. And suddenly the language was like very different as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to hear me babble on more about languages, or do you want to talk more about anime? Cause I could go either way.
I guess anime.
Okay. So, right. So basically this episode I thought was okay. There were some kind of stuff I liked. Although Luke kind of annoys me with how he's kind of an idiot. And there were, like I pointed out, a few parts that just kind of seemed a bit dumb. But the plot seems to be progressing. We're having characters introduced. It still seems okay. I think my biggest issue, and maybe this is... I mean, there's so many anime where it took a while to kind of, as you could say, get to what the goal of the series is. But it just... I was just kind of thinking about RPGs, and I'm usually thinking... I usually like it more when, even if it switches later on in the game, where we get more of a clear goal early on. Like, you know, Paper Mario and Paper Mario the Thousand New Doors. Like, okay, you gotta get these seven thingies in order to be able to beat the bad guy. And actually, that was also Super Paper Mario. And was that the case in Paper Mario Sticker Star also? I can't remember. Man, the Paper Mario's were really big on, hey, get seven of these things.
Well, Super Mario RPG, wasn't that the Legend of the Seven?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one, too. The Mario and Luigi games, actually, I think more frequently... well, there might have been some of those in there also, but it at least wasn't as definite about. Like, Superstar Saga, like, switched, like, things a lot. It wasn't just, hey, here's seven things you gotta go get.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite remember exactly how it worked in the other ones. Okay, so, you know, maybe this shouldn't be called Toonami Therapy. Maybe it should be Toonami Tangents.
Well, it's not Toonami either. So. Okay,
Yeah,
is it time for the top three of the week?
Yeah, let's get to it before I go off on more tangents.
I'm trying to think. What did we watch this week?
Paranoia Agent, Black Clover, Excel World, ReZero, and Tales of the Abyss.
There we go. Okay, number three for the week will be ReZero. Number two will be Tales of the Abyss. And number one, for its successful performance on Toonami and everything it provided, Paranoia Agent wins the number one spot for me.
Okay, well, for me, number three will be ReZero. Number two will be Paranoia Agent. I had like some respect for it, but I mean, there is a certain degree to which when something ends, if I liked it, I kind of want to put it up there, even if I had some problems with the ending. And then first place would actually be Black Clover, just because I thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's everything. Wow, we made it 70, or, you know, about 70 minutes with only 5 shows.
Yeah, how much of that was just me talking about Greek and Latin grammar? Yeah. You know, sometimes you wonder if it might have been because... Oh, no. I'm going to go on another tangent. I'll stop. Okay. Do you have anything, I've been dominating the tangents. Are there any tangents you want to talk about?
Not this week. I'll save them for next week.
Okay. So that's been Toonami Therapy and Tangents, which will, and you can find our previous episodes at ToonamiTherapy.podbean.com. Yeah, and we'll see you then next week for, I'd say, hopefully fewer tangents, but I'm sure that we're going to be going on a lot of them, but maybe we can decline it a little. Oh no, decline, declensions, help! We'll see you next time.